Jim Barr, how are you today?
Very good, thank you, Marty. Doing good, waiting for game two.
Yeah, did you ever collect pennants when you were a kid?
No, I did. I would have liked to have had a couple of those National League pennants.
Yeah, so the pennant is a real thing. They put it up above the stadium. That's a real thing that they put up there.
Oh, yeah, they fly those things on those flagpoles out there. Rightly so, they're very proud of them.
Well, last night I can't tell you how many compliments you got through Twitter and emails and also on the air last night about your analysis of Bumgarner and Wainwright last night. So you're back again, and let's talk about Jake Peavy and Lance Lynn, what we can expect from Peavy. And, Jim, I'll say this to you, 202 innings for Peavy this year, 158 strikeouts. This is someone who, you know, has pitched a complete major league season as a starting pitcher. This is not a fluke what he's doing. He's just hot as heck right now.
Oh, no, he's had a good career. And I hate to say the word career because it's nowhere, is it, I don't think, near the end. I think he's got years left. But he's had, you know, good years in the past. So he's done this before. So it's nothing new. I mean, I was always amazed when he was with San Diego. If we had to face the Padres and Peavy was going to pitch, it was going to be a tough game. So, you know, and then what he experienced earlier this year with Boston, it was like, wow, how could that possibly happen? Mm. And then especially the way he's been pitching now.
You know, again, I prefaced this before you came on, and you may have heard it or not, but there's so much information today on the Internet, and the teams have departments which compile all the statistics that they use in preparation for a game and for defenses. And I saw this about Peavy. 45.3% of his pitches this year are now at the lower third of the strike zone or below. It's his highest total in over 6 years. And maybe that's a reason for his success. And I ask you this. Number one, you want to comment on that, the fact that he can keep the ball down to such a degree.
Well, he does have a good moving fastball, sinker. I don't know if I'd call it a moving fastball. Usually when balls go down like that, you just refer to them as sinker. So he's got a very good sinker, and I think a few times when he does get into trouble or when he does give up hits, you know, it's like any ball sinker ball pitcher, and I had a sinker ball myself. I mean, if I threw 100 pitches in a game, I probably threw 85 sinkers, especially if they had all left-handers up there because I could spot that. But when you do get hit a little bit and when you struggle, it's because you're getting underneath the ball a little bit, and when you get underneath it, it tails and it doesn't sink. Therefore, it stays up in the zone and it gets hit. So I think that's going to be a key to Jake. He's got a very good changeup. I love his changeup. His slider, to me, is not really an out pitch. It's a show pitch, a show that he can. You know, you have to respect the fact that he can throw a breaking ball. But I think his out pitch is he's around the plate, the ball's sinking, you know it's going to be there. And it doesn't matter if the hitter knows what you're throwing, because he knows what you're throwing and you throw it. And if it's down low, he's already established it in his mind. Yep, that's what I thought was going to throw. There it is. And he chases it. It's a sinker down low, and he beats it into the ground.
Wow. Great analysis by Jim Barr. The Bumgarner pitch last night, well, not the pitch, but the near balk. What did you think about that?
Well, I saw a little bit, but my first reaction to it was, there was a little flinch, but you have to move a little bit in order to move the back foot to step off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, it wasn't big enough to say, well, yeah, he did that. You know, it was not intentional, but he did it, and therefore it was an easy call for a balk. My first thing is always you've got to move something in order to move the back leg. You can't just automatically move it just like that when you have weight and so forth. So, you know, and because there's nothing like that earlier in the game or whatever, the umpires totally caught. So you can't say, hey, he balked, and the umpire go, yeah, I did see something. No, you better be absolutely sure if you're going to make that call.
Yeah, I thought with the hands up, and, you know, sort of coming to near a set position, then to back off, I thought maybe that was the flinch. And I've seen that called as a balk before.
Yeah. To me, it's the umpire. You earn not a reputation, but the umpires know every little thing you do. Like there's a lot of pitchers that in the old days, what we call a double set. They come, live at their set, and then they just keep moving and moving and moving, and finally get down to the bottom, and then they pitch. But a lot of guys do that now, and if you do that every pitch, they're not going to call anything on you.
Yeah, remember Louis Tiant did that.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was good at it.
Yeah, and I was thinking of Paul Byrd recently. I think he had kind of a funny way to come to a stop. Jim Barr is with us. Jim, Lance Lynn. 76% of his pitches on the outer half of the plate. Giants number one in Major League Baseball hitting pitches on the outside part of the plate at 293. In the postseason, Posey and Pence hitting 500 on pitches in that area. Lance Lynn maybe is set up for the kind of pitcher, and maybe that explains some of the success the Giants have had against him.
Boy, first of all, I got to say, with all this analysis and this pitching statistics, where was that stuff around when I was pitching?
Well, that was my next question to you. Did you have anything like this to help you in any setup of the hitters or to understand how you were pitching?
No, nothing at all. You either somebody either told you through a scouting report, which very much, you know, they didn't have time to keep it. We didn't have the computers back then. You know, it was the rock ages. We didn't have that stuff. So you either somebody had to tell you, or you just had to know it by watching it over time and just get a feel. But now with all the statistics, it helps a little bit. But, you know, like I've always said, you still have to go out there and execute the pitch. And like I said, the hitters, they know you. You know the hitters. It does provide a little bit of an edge when you get in certain situations, you know, especially playoff situation, because, you know, 5-game, 7-game, that's a short series because there's so much on the line of where you can go next. So, yeah, those little things like that you can get from statistics, that's going to help a little bit.
What kind of a meeting did you have before you pitched a game with the catcher? Did you say, all right, look, Eddie Matthews is coming up, boy, we better go away from him, or Hank Aaron's coming up, don't go inside to him. What kind of a meeting did you have?
Well, I'll tell you two stories. One of them were in Philadelphia, and they'd always have advanced scouts. You know, prior to getting into Philadelphia, there'd be a Giants advanced scout. He had watched usually the series of the Philadelphia beforehand. And then when you get in there, there'd be a report on the manager's desk. He'd call in all the middle infielders, pitchers, and catchers. And you sit in, and you kind of go over everything. And one of the meetings they're talking about was they were saying how Tom Seaver was getting these guys out. And I'm going to pitch that night, and I'm sitting in the back of the room just kind of leaning up against the wall and just kind of not really paying attention. And so the meeting's over, and Wes Westrum says, okay, that's it, guys. Meeting's over. Hey, Jim, hang around for a second. So I stayed there, and he goes, I kind of get the feeling that you weren't paying attention in this meeting. I go, Wes, first of all, I'm not Tom Seaver. I can't get guys out with Tom Seaver pitches. I said, second of all, I'm going to pitch my game. So basically all I want to know is who likes to hit and run, who likes to steal, and who's hot at the time. And because I'm going to pitch my game. But if I know those things, then we'll adjust accordingly. And then another story, I had Dave Rader prior to a game. One time we're getting ready to start a game, and he comes up to me. I hadn't even warmed up in the bullpen yet. And he comes up and goes, okay, how do you want to pitch these guys? I said, Dave, I don't even know if my slider is going to be working tonight. I don't even know if I'm going to have my control. Why don't we wait till after the first inning, and then I'll tell you how we're going to attack these guys. So he said, oh, okay.
Okay. Boy, the science.
That was how I took it.
I love it. The science of pitching from Jim Barr. Great stories. Great stories. All right. Game two. I think it's a big game for the Giants in this respect. The number one, it could give them a commanding lead. Number two, it establishes that second guy to go with Bumgarner. The other side of the coin for St. Louis, you want to win one at home. You don't want to come back here down 0-2. Big game tonight for both teams. Usually game two, a 7-game series, maybe not so big. Tonight, I think there are implications.
Well, I think any game is a big game, a win like that, especially when you get into, you know, a 4-win and you go home as the winner. But I think it establishes momentum. I think any time the last game before the next game, it adds a little bit of momentum. So now if the Cardinals win it, they feel good, at least better, coming to San Francisco and opening the 3-game series here. if the Giants win it, they feel really good coming back with going on the road, winning two, coming home, two games to none. So to me, I look at it more as a momentum thing than as to, you know, the second game of a seven-game series.
Yeah, John Lackey is on the horizon, so everyone remembers him. That would be quite a matchup with Tim Hudson on Tuesday night. So, yeah. Hey, this is terrific. I'm so glad to have you on with us, and we'll do this again, and hopefully we won't have to do it next weekend, but maybe in the World Series. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be outstanding. I enjoy that. Thanks, Marty.
All right, thank you. That is Jim Barr, former pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. All right.